Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today's show is our annual Chaplain's Christmas show, where we'll meet a Vietnam veteran and we'll get an update from the Minneapolis VA. Joining me, but first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Chaplains play an important role in our armed forces. Whether our service members are Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Buddhist, or any one of the hundreds of other faith traditions, our chaplain corps is ready to meet their spiritual needs. Embedded in units across the force, our chaplains advise our commanders and ensure the free exercise rights for all service members are upheld, including those who hold no faith tradition. Chaplain teams spiritually enlighten and rejuvenate our troops during the good times and console and heal us during the bad. They have answered a higher calling to their faith and to their fellow service members.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is the full-time support chaplain for the Minnesota National Guard, Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wenton. Chaplain, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Tom. It is awesome to be back here with you in studio. We've got a great show set up for today. I'm honored to co-host with you. And, you know, it's almost a sign of the times. We had near-record heat yesterday here in Minnesota. And there's also talk of the Minnesota Vikings being in the Super Bowl, which I think is a little bit premature. But people are starting to ask me if the end is near.
Pray, Chaplain, pray. Well, we're back here to do another annual Chaplain's Christmas show. Is this the fourth one we've done together?
I think this is the fifth one we've done.
Fifth, okay.
Yeah, number five.
Well, we'll have to see what we're going to do, but we decided this year, because of the Ken Burns special and the focus on 50 years of Vietnam, to talk about some of my fellow Vietnam veterans and some of the issues that are out there. And Christmas and the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, can be a tough time for some people and some veterans, Chaplain.
There's no question about that, Tom. And when you look at the Army that Tom, our guest that we're going to hear from in a little bit, the Air Force that you entered, the Army that my dad entered, and then the Army that I entered, my goodness, there's such a dramatic difference. And I've always had just a really special place in my heart for Vietnam veterans, particularly after the first Gulf War and the support that came from the Vietnam veteran community to say that never again in our country are we going to allow our veterans to be mistreated. So because of their experience in combat and the impact that's had on their lives, that enduring impact, it can make the holidays a very difficult time, and there's a real opportunity for healing.
Now, Chaplain, that was a long period of time that covered the Vietnam War, and of course, we've been over in Afghanistan for a long time, and hopefully we've learned some things from both. But when we look at my era, the Vietnam War, I think a lot of our listeners know that we lost over 58,000 men. I was doing a little research into this because I really didn't know when I was there how many people had been there. But the nearest records that I can find that they're most accurate show that almost 3,000 men and 7,500 women served in Vietnam during the war. And, of course, it was a different time, and the draft was on, and the force was a little different than it is today with the all-volunteer force. But that's a lot of people. And I got a hold of the commissioner's office, the commissioner of Minnesota, the Veterans Affairs, and they tell me that there are about 337,000 veterans in Minnesota, and almost 35% of them are 125,800 served in Vietnam, and that we lost during the war about 1,077 soldiers. But that's really only part of the story. I've been back now for 45 years, and I'm one of the youngest people. But the numbers I can find show that, you know, it was an unpopular war. They didn't have a lot of treatment. I don't think they'd coined the word PTS, post-traumatic stress, at that time. And the guys that wanted to stay in the military didn't want to admit they had a problem because they were afraid they'd get kicked out. And so a lot of the guys came home and just kind of, you know, grew their hair out and went to work and went to college and did their thing. And some of them really haven't dealt with the issues of the war, but post-traumatic stress, Agent Orange, and the presumptive diseases were out there. And there was a lot of drug use back in those days. And near as I can tell, we know we lost, killed in action, 58,000, a little over that. We think there's been over 100,000 suicides. The Minneapolis VA hospital tells me that there's over a half a million veterans that are being treated for various issues from the Vietnam War. And, one of the experts at the Vietnam Veterans of America tell me that they think that several hundred thousand troops have died from issues from Agent Orange and those other presumptive diseases in the war. And so for a lot of my fellow Vietnam veterans, the war's still going on, Chaplain.
Yeah, you covered a lot of information there. And the, you know, just to touch on some of those, the numbers are staggering. We've learned that our nation doesn't have the stomach, you know, for the level of casualties that were sustained in Vietnam versus what we saw or have continued to see in Iraq and Afghanistan. And as we look to, you know, potential conflict elsewhere in the globe, our senior leaders in the armed forces have been very clear that, you know, we're going to see potentially casualties on a level we haven't seen in our generation. And you look at the Vietnam veterans, you're absolutely right. The cost post-war far exceeds what was experienced during the conflict itself. And so there's a lot of work to be done to bring encouragement and hope to our veterans who have given so much. And one of the things that, again, I'll refer to our guest that will speak here in a little bit with Tom Newman, it has to do with purpose. You know, it's very clear in World War II where the forward edge of the battle area was located, the line of departure, the line of contact, who the enemy was, and the cause. None of that was in question. But in Vietnam, you know, guys came home from that experience and were mistreated in such significant numbers. And so when you give and you sacrifice so much and you have to question what was it for, that really has an impact on you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and all three of those impact you physically. So the cost continues to be tallied, and we've got a lot to do as a nation to continue that healing process.
We're speaking with Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn on our annual Chaplain's Christmas show on Minnesota Military Radio. Chaplain, when we were preparing for the show, I talked to Commissioner Shelledo at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and he says he told me that over the last 4 or 5 years, that as our fellow Vietnam veterans are retiring from their full-time jobs, a lot of them, when they came back, went to school, they got jobs, they got married, they had families, they've been busy for decades. And now as they're retiring, they've got time on their hands. And when they have time on their hands, they're flashing back and they're remembering some of the things they saw, did, and experienced during Vietnam. And some of those guys now are having, they need some help. They're experiencing post-traumatic stress when they've been fine for years, but now the old demons are coming back.
Yeah, and nature abhors a vacuum, so something's going to rush in to fill that, you know, that void of time. And it can many times be their past experiences that haven't dealt with. And that creates an opportunity. As much as it's a bit of a crisis for the individual, it also creates an opportunity for them to grow and for others to benefit from their experiences. And we'll talk about that a little bit in the last segment about, you know, where do we go from here? Given the issues of, you know, the experience of war and the impact of war, where do we go? Mentally, spiritually, physically.
And Chaplain, one of the things we do know is that the VA healthcare system has experience. They've helped a lot of Vietnam veterans. They've helped a lot of veterans in general. If you're suffering from some kind of post-traumatic stress, some flashbacks, some of those kind of things, get a hold of the VA Medical Center in Minneapolis. They know how to help. They know how to get you to deal with it. And, of course, Chaplain, a few years ago we talked about spiritual healing for our combat veterans. There's a process that we'll get to in that fourth segment where you have to take it out, look at it, forgive yourself, seek the Lord's forgiveness, talk about it, deal with it, put it away, and move on with your life. And that's the most important message, isn't it?
It is, Tom. The same thing that enabled them to survive basic training, jumping out of airplanes, going through things that are unknown to most of humanity in terms of fear, the fear factor, you got through it. And so it's that same energy, drive, determination, ability, the experience you've had and success in the past that will get you through and over the hurdle that you're dealing with right now.
And, Chaplain, we're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to have a combat veteran from the 101st Airborne from Vietnam, Tom Newman, is going to join us. And we'll talk about some of those experiences that he had and some of the terrible things that he witnessed and went through, and how he found a way to help himself. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today's show is our annual chaplain show. My co-host for the show is Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn, and we've been talking about the Vietnam War and the Christmas holiday seasons and how to get some healing promoted for our Vietnam veterans, whether it's physically, mentally, or spiritually. And Chaplain, we've got a guest with us today who's veteran from Vietnam. He was with the 101st Airborne in 1968. He's an author. He wrote a book called Just War, A Soldier's
Revelation.
Revelation. Can't read my own writing. Sorry, Tom. And he also wrote a book called The History of the Bible. And Tom Newman, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom, for having me. Pleasure to be here.
Tom, I know that when you first went into the service back in 1968, it was because it was an accommodation caused by some speeding tickets, and you and the judge decided that you were going to sign up for the Army.
That's correct. The transportation I could afford was a motorcycle. That's what I bought. They're very fast. I was very fast. So my seventh speeding ticket, he was going to pull my license for 3 years, and I said, well, I was thinking about going in the service, and he says, show me your papers. We'll forget this whole thing.
And then you decided you wanted to be a paratrooper.
Yes. So the Army was the one that offered paratroopers, so I joined the Army in 67 and asked to be a paratrooper, volunteered for Vietnam, and asked to be in the infantry.
And it just happened to be the year of the big Tet Offensive, 1968.
Correct.
And you got over there and were assigned to the 101st Airborne, and you were right in the middle of it.
Right in the middle of Tet, yes.
Can you explain to our younger listeners Tet Offensive 1968? It was a big one.
Well, I think the most dramatic thing about the Tet Offensive, and this kind of gets into some of the stuff we're going to be talking about, is after we secured the village, the thing that was the biggest challenge to me is we found all these shallow graves of all of the officers and the clergy and the professors and doctors and lawyers, anybody that could organize resistance against the communists. And there were 2,800 bodies in these shallow graves inside Wei. And that's the hardest thing to get over. I mean, the combat is one thing, but when you see all those innocent people killed for no reason.
And this was in the city of Wei in the spring of 1968.
Yes.
Which we refer to as the Tet Offensive.
February of 68, yes.
Right. And it was actually the biggest military push that the VC in the North had put on.
Well, they had 80,000 Viet Cong for the push. They had the NVA involved as well. At the end of the battle, we had killed 50,000 of the VC, taken 7,000 prisoners, and killed 45,000 NVA soldiers. The American losses were 1,500. And the news media turned this into a victory for the enemy.
And, Tom, when you were over there with the 101st Airborne, that year they suffered 97% casualties in your unit. But even beyond that, you were part of the 1st Strike Cavalry. Can you explain what that is?
Well, 101st B Company, the 50 Deuce, was 1st Strike. And that's just if anybody was in need of assistance, the O'Deuce would chop her up and go to the fight to offer that assistance to whoever was engaged in a battle that they weren't sure they were going to win.
So you were the emergency troops, then you rode into travel into battle in your choppers.
Correct.
And how many times were you put in by chopper?
I had 76 insertions, and 54 of them were into hot LZs.
And you're still here to talk about it.
I am.
And even worse than that, Tom, you were on point, and you were also what they called a tunnel rat. What's the life expectancy of those guys that had those jobs, Tom?
Life expectancy of a point man is 11 days. And the tunnel rat, that's kind of a function of who you are. I'm 5'8". By the time I'd there been there a couple months, I was down to about 125 pounds. I got dark hair and a tan. So if I would go in the tunnel, I wouldn't be immediately recognized as the enemy. So sometimes that pause by the enemy gives you the opportunity you need. Whereas if you send an African-American down or somebody that's blonde with real white skin, they immediately be identified and taken under fire. So point men and tunnel rats is a very, very dangerous job.
We're speaking with Chaplain Buddy Wynn and Tom Newman on Minnesota Military Radio. And Tom, in your book, Just War, A Soldier's Revelation, you indicated that you probably should have died a couple dozen times.
26 times, yeah.
What saved you?
As you'd read the book, the way they're described, in over half of them, it can only be described as divine intervention. The first time we were ambushed, me and Scotty were the only two to survive. 3 days later, we were ambushed again. I was the only one to survive. By the end of the year, I would have survived 6 ambushes.
And Tom, I know that you had an experience with some animals in Vietnam, some bees. Can you tell us about that?
Some black wasps, yeah. We were taking a village, and as we went through the hedgerows, the trooper next to me hit a wasp nest with the butt of his rifle. And the wasp swarmed on me, stinging me 11 times in the head and neck. I immediately started to react to the swelling, or to the stings, my swelling and the intense pain. So they did call a medevac and brought me to the MASH unit at LZ Sally. And when they brought me in the emergency room, I was so swollen that I didn't have any facial features. And the emergency room doctor looked at me and said, "What in the hell happened to him?" And when he said that, I realized a wasp had stung me in the mouth, and I reached in and pulled it out. And as soon as I held it up for everyone to see, I went into anaphylactic shock, cardiac arrest, and complete respiratory failure. And as soon as I flatlined, my spirit and my soul left my body, and I went up and watched all the procedures to resuscitate me. Couple things to say about that. Number one is you're fully conscious, and number two, it's still 100% the personality you are. So in the recovery room, I'm trying to get my head around all this because I had wondered why I could see them and they couldn't see me. I looked at my hand and it was translucent. And the best way I can summarize this is my body laying on the bed was the glove and I was the hand. When the orderly came by and asked how I was feeling, I asked him why they were putting blood in one arm and taking it out of the other. And he says, "How the hell do you know we did that? You were gone." So that was kind of convincing to me that it wasn't shock, or it wasn't drugs, it wasn't anything else. It was just a real experience of being alive outside of your body.
Chaplain, have you heard those stories before?
They're remarkable. And, thanks for sharing those, Tom. Had faith played an important role in your life up to that point, or was this just kind of a confirmation of your, your belief system, and how that affected you going forward?
Well, I'd consider myself a casual Christian when I went into the service. My grandma gave me a Bible when I was 10. I read it. I was confirmed in the Lutheran religion. So I had a God awareness, but it wasn't the way I live my life now, which is in the presence of God and under His sovereignty. But the experiences in Vietnam, number one, when you go from believing in life after death to knowing there's life after death, it changes everything. And that changes your whole perspective on life. And that's why when I came back, after the experiences I had, I couldn't just blow all that off. I had to figure out why. Because now I saw life with two dimensions. We're physical and spiritual, and we're actually living in both those realities right now. And I had to figure out that connection. Because if you don't figure your war experience out, if you don't understand the new you and your new realities, you'll never get your life back.
Yeah, and so it sounds like that played a significant role in your journey to healing.
Absolutely.
From your near-death experience through the remainder of your tour and then making sense out of it afterward all the way up through to today.
Correct.
Yeah, that's remarkable.
Tom, when you got back to the world here, back to the country, you must have had a lot of things rolling around in your mind. You had killed people in combat. You had seen your buddies being killed in combat. You were probably experiencing some survivor's remorse. You probably had more questions than you had answers.
Correct. Survivor's guilt, yeah, absolutely. We had 97% casualties and fatalities. In the process of coming back, I think what irritated most of us Vietnam veterans is the way we were received. When you're in a combat situation, I used to call that the extreme edge of reality, and you're taking somebody's life or you're seeing your friends get killed, you need to have a very good reason for doing that. And the media stole all that by calling it an unjust war. And what would have been immoral or unjust is if we hadn't gone into war in Vietnam, because we'd already signed 4 treaties with them. It would have been immoral not to honor those treaties. So it was a just war, and that's why the title of my book is Just War, and explains why we had a purpose for doing that. And when you know you have a purpose, then it doesn't take the meaning away. But the news media stripped that meaning, and that's why so many guys struggle with what they experienced over there, is because they think there wasn't a point to it all.
Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to take up the issue of how you reconcile the things you saw and did in combat and in service, and especially at this time of year, around Christmas time, a tough time of year to get through. We're speaking with Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn and Tom Newman on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and this is our annual Chaplain's Christmas Show with Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn, and we've been joined by Tom Newman, who is an author and was a member of the 101st Airborne, 1968 in Vietnam. He's written a book called Just War, A Soldier's Revelation, and also a follow-up book, The Brief History of the Bible. And Chaplain, before we come back to Tom and talk about reconciling all those experiences, the holidays are a tough time for a lot of people, not just veterans, but a lot of folks. And if you're widowed or a widower, or if you're alone for some reason, you don't have any family, you're home alone, that gives you a lot of time on your hands and a lot of time perhaps to reflect on things that you really don't need to or would be better off not. And how do we handle that during the holidays, Chaplain?
That's a question that has, you know, always sought an answer. And I remember a book that I read that really had an impact on my formation as a member of the clergy, a minister, and that is a book called The Purpose-Driven Life. And the first sentence in the first chapter says, very simply, it's not about you. So really joy and satisfaction comes from, you know, placing the needs of others above your own. And I think one of the things that we all can do, and this is a growing issue. You mentioned some stats at the outset about 300+ thousand veterans in Minnesota. How many of us know a veteran? How many of us are engaged with veterans, know their story, give them an outlet and a chance to safely process what they've experienced? One of the things we can do is if we know someone that's, you know, alone or, you know, experiencing lack, we can reach out to them just with simple compassion, kindness, to ensure that their dignity remains at a high level. Invite them over for cookies and coffee, or invite them over for dinner for your Christmas or holiday celebration. And that, you know, for someone who's looking for a reason to keep going, right, you know, that can have such a significant impact on their ability to continue journeying towards, you know, from my perspective as a pastor, you know, what the Lord's calling them to do and experience in their life for His kingdom. Because if it's not about us, then we need to be focused on looking at the needs of others. But if we've got this massive obstacle in front of us, it's really hard to do. So we have a role in that as veterans and as members of the community who benefited from the effort of those veterans to go out and do what they did and then come home.
So this holiday season, reach out to someone around you that might be alone. Have them over for some uplifting conversation. Maybe just dinner, as you said, coffee and cookies. That'd be a great thing to do. And Chaplain, we're getting back to what we were talking about on spiritual healing for combat veterans. You have to forgive yourself. You have to seek the Lord's forgiveness. You have to face whatever fears you had there, whatever demons are there. Put them behind you. Move on with your life. And I'm interested in finding out how Mr. Newman did that when he came back after 278 days in combat, one of the bloodiest years of the war, 1968, the Tet Offensive, having been in a position where 26 times he should have died. Tom, I know that you were reading the Bible for years and years and years and helping yourself through this. Can you explain to the chaplain and I, how did you go about that?
Well, I think the first thing I wanted to do when I got out of the military was find the answers. So I enrolled in the University of Minnesota in a liberal arts so you can study everything you want to, genetics and physics and religions of the world. And I wound up with a bachelor's in psychology. And when I found out that those weren't any of the answers I was looking for, I tried to put it all behind me, got involved in a career and got married. And then the miracle of birth brought all those questions back. And I thought, you know, the Bible says children are a gift from God, so I better do a lot of things very right. I'm responsible for the destiny of two souls. So I started getting up at 5 a.m. and reading scripture for an hour every day. And I did that for 10 years. And after 10 years, I told my kids, I think I found all the answers. And they said, well, if you found the answers, you better put them in a book because there might be other people looking for those same answers. So that produced A Brief History of the Bible, Things to Come. Took 14 years to write because that was the whole process of going through all that. And then when I was done, my son said, your book is very theological. People may want to know who you are and why you wrote it. So then I wrote Just War, A Soldier's Revelation. And that process of finding you know, everybody says you have to move on, but that becomes such an integral part of your life, and you live it every day. You can't really move on. You have to learn how to acclimate to it. So I went over there, a naive little senior out of high school, baseball player, snuck a beer now and then, come back a experienced warrior. That's a completely different person. And now I have a completely different set of understanding of reality. I never knew that kind of horror before, that kind of those kind of things could even exist, that much evil. So I had to acclimate myself, the new me, to the new person that I was.
So, Tom, that a wise man told me if it was easy, everybody would be doing it. Well, that's not the case. It took a lot of work.
Absolutely.
And it was as if writing and that process of learning and growing was not only essential to your healing, but it was an outlet for you as well.
Correct.
And that's an encouragement to all of our veterans is, you know, this is kind of a dual effort. You've got to do the hard work of reconciling, but there are things that you can do on the side that help you to process in a healthy, low-risk manner. We see our veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan. What are they doing? You've got gambling, motorcycles, kind of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and all the high-risk stuff. But there are better ways, and there are so many organizations that want to help veterans to process what they've experienced.
I think one thing people overlook is that, is particularly for me, because of my experience as a combat infantryman, when you come back, most things are pretty mundane. I mean, that was the most exciting year of my life, certainly the most dangerous. But I had to get involved in something to find new meaning. And that, of all the things I went through, didn't happen until I started reading scripture and applying that to my life to take it to a different dimension of existence. We're both physical and spiritual, so we live in both of those realities right now. And that can give the meaning and significance that you're looking for in your life.
I don't disagree with you at all. And you know, as you and I talked earlier, this comes down to your worldview, you know.
Right.
And so if you don't have one, this is the time to take the opportunity to learn. Why are we here? What's our purpose? I mean, these are the questions that have evaded answers for years. But along the way, as you pursue that knowledge and that you're able to apply that as divine wisdom,
right,
you get the answer and you grow. And that's been my experience coming out of a combat deployment to Iraq and another combat deployment in Kuwait and Iraq a few years later.
Chaplain, you've been deployed, and Tom, you were in Vietnam. I was in Vietnam. Do you guys remember the loneliness of being in a war zone on the holidays, Thanksgiving and Christmas?
Absolutely.
I mean, all I could think about was being at home.
You know,
and
Tom,
we couldn't be there.
You're making these precious memories with your other family. Those are your battle buddies,
right,
the people you're deployed with, and yet you can be surrounded by all sorts of people and never feel more alone than when you're away from your family.
And I think some of our older Vietnam vets that maybe are alone this Christmas are thinking back to those times and how they wish they were here and engaged, and yet they were in the war zone, and now they're back here, and if they're all alone, they're feeling the same way they felt when they were deployed.
Yeah, it's painful, and there's nothing you can do to bring that back. So you've got to find a kind of a negotiated new normal. I'm not down on the VFW and the American Legion, but too many of our veterans, you know, have essentially, you know, obligated themselves to have peaked at their wartime experience. And I'm here to say that there's more out there, right? I mean, you can park it at the end of the bar at the VFW, telling tall tales and stories about when you were really alive. But based on your experiences, and I'll talk about this in the fourth segment, you know, there's more there out for you. This doesn't have to be the peak. It doesn't have to be the greatest thing you've ever accomplished. It can, in fact, be the platform for the next great thing that you're going to experience in your life, particularly for people of faith. What's the next thing that the Lord wants me to do for His kingdom, based on how far He's brought me to this point?
Tom, I think you feel the same way I do, but when I feel a little lonely or down or think back to those times, I always figure if I can go out and help other people and help them get through life and help make a difference in their lives, then I don't think about myself so much anymore. I have a mission. I have something to do. You help people with your books.
Right.
I know you give speeches. You feel the same way, don't you?
Absolutely. It's you know, Mark Twain said the two best days of your life are the day you're born and the day you find out why. And if you made it through that experience, you have to find out why.
It's a long journey. And you know, hindsight's always 20/20. So when you're in the middle of it, you can't understand why it's so difficult. But, you know, there's milestones in your life and experiences that you have, interactions with people, these divine interactions that the Lord appoints for people to speak a word into your life that can confirm something, a hunch, or you know, something you've been reaching for, And when that happens, you know, you're a writer, Tom. I've journaled, Mr. Lyons, my colleague. You know, we've talked about how to stay healthy. I think journaling is a great way towards healing because it helps you to go back and show you how God was present in your life, right, even when you thought it was the worst time. And that gives you hope for the future.
Tom, I want to thank you for joining us today and sharing your stories of your time in Vietnam and all the things you went through to heal and write these books so other people can heal. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're gonna be enlightened because the chaplain is going to give us his best words for Christmas. I hope you'll stick around and listen, Tom.
Thank you.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today about the Vietnam veterans and Christmas, and this is our annual Chaplain's Christmas show, and we've been holding the chaplain down and holding him down. And Chaplain, it's time to turn you loose. It's Christmas, lots of serious issues out there. I want to hear your words of wisdom, sir.
Tom, thank you. I always look forward to the Christmas show annually. I think it's just such a great honor. Of course, chaplains, you know, we're pluralistic, so we support all of our soldiers and airmen and family members and their faith traditions, but we call that cooperation without compromise. So we've been talking a lot about healing. We've been talking about, you know, where can we go for physical healing, for mental healing, for spiritual healing. Certainly for physical healing, there are resources available. We've got the Veterans Administration. You know, if you've got no kidding issues that are connected to your service, then that resource is there. And we've got other places such as the Eagles Healing Nest and great Yellow Ribbon outreaches in our communities. For mental health, you know, again, the Veterans Administration, a trusted advisor that is, you know, a doctor, someone who's certified. Not someone who's just going to pump you full of medicine, but that can help you with, you know, processes and methods that are time tested, and they're a part of this effort. Tom said earlier, we're physical and we're spiritual, and you know, physical training is a huge effort to mental health as well. That's been proven, but spiritually, you know, you've got to go somewhere to get fed spiritually. Well, chaplain, you know, all those churches and all those parishes that I go to, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, you know what? I got news for you. There's always room for one more. We'd be happy to have anybody that's coming in to learn and to grow. Maybe I don't understand what you've experienced as a combat veteran, but God does. That's the good news. There's this incredible account in the Gospel of Matthew called the Parable of the Talents, and this is a master who's leaving his house. He's going to travel, and he's entrusting his property to the servants, and he's entrusting something called a talent. Now, this isn't the ability to play a ukulele or sing a song or write a poem. A talent is a measure of money, and it's estimated that each talent was worth upwards of, in today's dollars, $500,000. And the idea was those stewards, those responsible for overseeing the assets of their master, were charged with growing it. I mean, he could have just taken it to the bank and grown interest and been good, but he gave this opportunity to those that served under his leadership. And so we know that the first and the second went ahead and they grew it. They increased and doubled the value of the property that they were entrusted with. And the master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will set you over much." And the last sentence in that line is, "Enter into the joy of your master." There is a way to joy and happiness, and it comes from stewardship of not just money, talents. There's certainly a financial connection there, but the experiences that God's placed in us, our natural gifts and abilities, we call them talents today, our strengths, right, our passions. God wants to use those things to transform us. But again, it's not about us. So how do we take these experiences, heal and grow and transform ourselves, and then become a blessing to others? You've got to trust the Lord. And I'll tell you what, stewardship is about something for me as a veteran. I think it's easy. We've got the competitive advantage. We've already done hard stuff to earn the right to wear a name tape over our heart that says U.S. Army, U.S. Navy, U.S. Air Force, U.S. Marines, U.S. Coast Guard, and of course our family members as well. So this hard work isn't difficult. It's just hard work. So joy comes from engaging God's plan for your life and building his kingdom. God uses the hard things and the suffering to bring us through, even though we know that we're never going to get to the final answer of why. Why did I lose my buddy? Why did I survive and my buddy didn't? Why did Agent Orange affect my buddy and take his life and not mine? Well, faith bridges the gap from where we are to where God ultimately wants us to be. And as we engage God's plan, it's going to be to His glory, it's going to be for our joy, and it's going to be the good for the good of all those whose lives we cross. I encourage you to find a way to reach out, minister to the needs of others, and learn and grow through your own experiences. And the best place to do that is in the pew of a church, and let God meet you where you're at. Merry Christmas to everybody. Thanks again, Tom.
Chaplain, very good. Thanks for joining us again for our annual Christmas special. I'm looking forward to it again next year.
I look forward to it, Tom.
And for all our listeners out there, if you know someone that's alone these holidays, veteran or non-veteran, have them out for cookies, have them over for dinner, have them over just to raise their spirits, and have a Merry Christmas, one and all. Joining me now from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System is Ralph Huesner, the Public Affairs Officer. Ralph, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be with you.
Ralph, you got the director all tied up today?
Yes, unfortunately, he's not available, so I'll do my best to fill in.
You'll do just fine, Ralph.
Thank you.
There's always a lot of stuff going on out there, and we've learned over the years that there's always some construction, there's always some changes. You built a parking ramp, you built the tunnel to come over to the building, you've been redoing clinics. What are you working on? There's a new center opening now?
Yes. It's called the Center for Integrative Health and Healing. And what it is offering is basically alternative and complementary therapies. There's been a demand among veterans, both young veterans and older ones, for non-traditional medicine. Example, yoga, tai chi, mindfulness, and acupuncture. This new center, which opens December this month, offers all four of those therapies. And their classes and their therapies. So we will have classes in yoga and tai chi, mindfulness, and what is called group acupuncture, where in a group setting, there'll be a professional acupuncturist applying the acupuncture, and it allows for dialogue. You mentioned renovation. This new center is in an area of the hospital which was previously occupied by wet laboratories when the VA was doing a lot of basic research. So it was unused space, underutilized space on 3P. And I think the most important thing is that veterans, if they don't want traditional medicine and they can get a referral, or they will get a referral from their primary care physician, they can use some of these traditional or non-traditional therapies.
So, Ralph, now I suppose if we can't find you around the noon hour, you're going to be down there doing some yoga and tai chi.
I have not done yoga. I have used acupuncture, and it was successful.
You'll have to introduce me to that, Ralph.
Yes, sir.
Now, I understand the VA's had some volunteers out in Puerto Rico.
Yes, there's a national VA program called DEMS. It's an acronym for Disaster Emergency Medical Personnel System. Whenever there's a major disaster, the VA is able to call on staff who are pre-qualified in various specialties to respond. So when the hurricanes hit Puerto Rico, we had four staff, three nurses and a pharmacy tech, left within 72 hours notification, and they spent 2 weeks, 3 weeks in one case, working in Puerto Rico. A couple of the staff were in the San Juan VA hospital because many of the employees there were needed to respond to their own personal situation. But we also had a couple staff out in the general part of the island. One of the nurses spent 2 weeks in Manatee, a community, living and working in a coliseum, which became a hospital. So this is a national program. Whenever you hear there's a natural disaster, you can rest assured that there are staff people on their own time volunteered for this duty.
Fabulous.
We're glad to have them back. Some may return.
Great work on behalf of your volunteers, Ralph. Say, when I was out there last time, or the last couple of times, I think I was at a new clinic that was called a Super Primary Care Clinic. I understand you've got another one coming.
Yes, up on the fourth floor, we're locating all primary care in one area of the hospital. We opened 4D, 4 Delta, earlier in the year, and we're getting ready to open up two more in the next few months. The we call them super clinics because it's able to offer primary care, mental health, some physical therapy, dietetics, all in one place to minimize the amount of walking that patients have to do throughout the hospital, because this is an awfully big place.
Ralph, I understand northern Minnesota, you're expanding some times for a clinic up there.
Our smallest clinic, you might even call it an outpost, is way up there in Ely, Minnesota. We opened the Ely Clinic about 3 years ago, and at the time we had about 300 patients. The number is now over 400. So we have now gone from 2 days a week to 3 days a week. Not a big deal in the big picture, but what it shows is that the VA is trying to reach out to provide services for veterans who live in rural Minnesota. At the clinic, we are able to offer primary care, but there's a lot of telehealth going on. So we are able to connect veterans with specialists here in the Minneapolis VA through telemedicine in the clinic. So we opened up, we expanded to 3 days just last month.
Very good, Ralph. We've only got about a minute left, but I heard a rumor that Bob is back.
Bob Hope. We've had the Bob Hope statue, a bronze statue, in front of the hospital since 1985. It was a gift of the Roseville VFW, and it was actually sculpted by a Vietnam veteran, Roger Broden. Roger died in 1995, but he is nationally famous for his bronze statues. We brought back Bob Hope. He is in the canopy connector between the hospital and the parking ramp. We're glad that he's there. We, again, responded to interest of veterans. We were asked many times over the last couple of years during renovation what happened to Bob. So Bob Hope is back. It's an acknowledgement of all the good work he did to entertain troops who were overseas.
Be glad to see him when I come out there. Ralph, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Tom.
Merry Christmas, sir.
You too.
We're just about, that was Ralph Huesner, the Public Affairs Officer for the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, my co-host on the annual Chaplain Show, Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Buddy Wynn, Tom Newman, Ralph Huesner, Commissioner Larry Shelleto of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensens. Please join us next week for our Veterans Service Organization Christmas show with members of the Commander's Task Force from the American Legion, DAV, Paralyzed Veterans of America, and the Marine Corps League. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.